My big mistake was not checking at that last crossroads. Fatal. Fatal. A couple of miles further on, and the road had petered out altogether. There I was, bumping along on little better than a rutted car track. High hedges on either side, no room to reverse, gearbox screaming for mercy, until it finally decided to give up the ghost. If it hadn't been for a sudden flash of lightning, I'd have missed the gravel space leading to the gateway altogether. Two tall, moss-grown pillars with carvings of animals on top. Monkeys. The three wise monkeys. The drive climbed through seriously overgrown parkland. And there, at the end of it, stood the house. Squat. Impressive. But much more importantly, with light still burning in the downstairs windows. I made for them as gratefully as any storm-lashed mariner suddenly sighting harbor.
We present Death and the Pleasant Voices by William Ingram.
Good evening. I'm
so... My dear, dear Hugo. So you finally made it. We've quite given up hope. Don't you come in. What a perfectly dreadful storm. Give me your coat. Oh, how silly of me. My name's Ursula. Come into the drawing room. They're all simply dying to meet you. Quiet, everyone. Quiet. Uncle Fiddle, do be a darling and turn off the gramophone. He's here, everyone. Our dear Hugo has finally arrived.
Good evening, sir. But I really must explain.
Welcome, Hugo, darling. No need for explanations. You're here now. The only important thing is we all get to know each other as quickly as possible. Now then, introductions, everyone. Oh, let's begin.
Good evening, young man. Glad you finally made it.
This is our dearest friend, Hillary, Dr. Palmer.
Doctor.
Heard a great deal about you. Don't be alarmed. They won't bite.
So, you finally made it, then.
My brother, Jim?
That damn time, too. Given you up. Waited dinner for God knows how long.
I'm sorry.
Bloody well hope so.
I'm glad to see you, Hugo. You must just settle down and get used to our funny little ways as soon as possible.
Of course he will, Aunt Susan, dear.
Oh, of course, of course. It's bound to be difficult for him at first, but he must just make the effort.
Give the boy a chance to get to know us. After all, he's never been used to our English ways.
This is Uncle Biddulph, Hugo.
How do you do, old fellow?
I'm terribly sorry, but you're all making a dreadful mistake. Now, listen, everyone. Please, listen. Well, the simple fact of the matter is, I'm not Hugo, the person you were expecting.
What?
My name is Jake Seaborn. And I'm simply here because, well, my car packed up in the lane back there and I got stranded in the storm.
Well, that damn imposter.
Told you the real blighter wouldn't turn up.
Well, didn't I tell you?
Seaborn, you did say your name was Seaborn?
Yes.
Yeah, not common. You wouldn't happen to have a brother, Oscar, would you?
Good heavens, yes, as a matter of fact.
Well, did you ever... Well, now I come to think of it, I remember Oscar mentioning you. He studied under me when he was a medical student. Didn't he tell me you were under orders, too?
It's second year at Bath.
Splendid. Oh, by the way, my name's Lawton.
Sir Frederick Lawton, the surgeon.
Sir Frederick? Oh, what a very great honour to meet you, sir.
Tell you what, old man, you're not making many friends hanging about here. My immediate diagnosis is that you're in urgent need of a drink. Come along, let's have a chat in the library. Ursula, I'm sure you'll excuse us.
Oh, of course.
Ursula.
Well, if that bugger isn't Hugo, where the hell is he?
My dear boy, don't look so put out. Really rather amusing, you arriving when you did, and they simply assuming you must be Hugo.
Damned embarrassing. If you don't mind, sir, I'll just have this drink and then beat a hasty retreat.
In this storm, out of the question, you'll stay the night.
Oh, but...
You'll stay. Nobody'll mind. In fact, they're all so keyed up about Hugo's arrival, doubt they'll be any the wiser. Cheers.
Cheers.
Oh,
this Hugo, they've obviously never set eyes on him, then.
Never even heard of him until 3 weeks ago.
Then why the interest?
He's just inherited this house and everything that goes with it. Until the will was read, your welcoming committee had always assumed they'd be here for the rest of their naturals. It came as a nasty shock to find their futures now depend on the whim of some young man they've never even met. One thing for sure, his arrival could lead to a very ugly situation. And certainly a very odd one.
Oh?
The young lady who so effusively greeted you, Ursula. Ursula Ulstone. The somewhat abrupt Jim is her twin brother. I operated on their father some months ago. There was never much of a chance.
What for, sir?
Brain tumor. Anyway, just before he went into the theater, he told me about Hugo. A son he'd never mentioned. If the worst came to the worst, he asked me to break the news to the others.
Must have come as a great shock.
To put it mildly. Seems our Hugo came on the scene some 25 years ago. His child threw his first marriage to a high-caste Indian woman. She died giving birth, and the boy was left into the care of her Indian relatives. As far as old Ulster was concerned, that was the end of the matter. He returned to England, married again, had a new family. Hence, Ursula and Jim.
What happened to Hugo?
He was moved from India to Paris. Oh, nothing but the best. English nanny, tutors, extensive travel, no expense spared. His father only made one proviso. He was never to visit England, never tried to get in touch with the stepbrother and sister he'd never known.
I still don't understand why, finally, he became sole heir. Surely Ursula and Jim were the obvious, indeed, decent choice.
Why? Who knows? The fickle whim of a sick old man, a sudden nostalgia for his first wife, a feeling of guilt, perhaps, for having kept the boy in the background. He didn't tell me, and I didn't ask. He did make me one final request, though. That I be here to welcome Hugo when he finally turns up. At least one friendly face he could count on.
So you've kept your part of the bargain? Sir?
Bit of a hitch, I'm afraid. If Hugo had turned up this evening as arranged, no problem. But, well, the fact of the matter is, imperative I be back in town first thing in the morning at the latest. No choice. Nothing I can put off, postpone. So, you see, well, your turning up out of the blue when you did was really most opportune, as far as I'm concerned.
Opportune? Sorry, I don't follow.
Well, it's obvious. There's really nothing to prevent you taking my place.
Me?
Why not? You're on leave.
Well, yes.
That's settled, then. And you really would be doing me a very great favour. I shall still make the 9 o'clock train, and you can meet Hugo on my behalf when he finally arrives. You look doubtful.
I'd like to help, but, well, what possible reason can I give for inviting myself to stay on?
Oh, won't need one. The place is always full of people coming and going, positively bulging at the seams. Anyway, as it's Hugo's house now, they really don't have any say in the matter.
Hugo's house?
Exactly. Anyway, must be off. I miss the damn train.
Really, sir?
Jolly decent of you, old man.
Jolly decent of you.
You'll be staying the night.
He did suggest it, but if it's too much trouble...
No trouble. They didn't get round to introducing us in there. My name's Evelyn. Evelyn Ross.
Good evening.
I hope you don't mind my saying this, but... Well, the way they reacted when they discovered you weren't Hugo just now. Don't hold it against them.
Oh, I don't.
In view of the circumstances... Well, it's only understandable that they should be a bit on edge.
I appreciate that.
That's all right, then. I'll see to your room. You're not just staying as a favour to Sir Frederick, are you? Can't wait to see how it all turns out.
Come in, Hugo. Come along in. I'm afraid your cousins have gone for a stroll into the village. They'll be furious not to have been here to greet you. It seems you were expected last night.
Your English weather. I decided to stay on in town.
And who can blame you?
Anyway, I'm Jake Seaborn.
Seaborn? And how might we be related?
We aren't. Not even remotely. A total stranger and positively no right to be here in the first place. As a matter of fact, you can kick me out here and now if you've a mind to.
I don't understand.
Sir Frederick Lawton persuaded me to stay over and act as his representative. A sort of welcoming committee.
I see.
You know Sir Frederick?
Oh, yes. The surgeon. He killed my father.
Your father had a cerebral tumor, Hugo. It's one of the most difficult operations in the world. If anyone could have succeeded, it would have been Sir Frederick.
He was ludicrously overpaid.
Probably no more than his time and skill were worth.
And he failed. It's as simple as that. He failed. Anyway, this newly acquired family of mine, why don't you tell me about them? You have my word I shan't betray any confidences.
I have none to give you. I only met them last night, and then only briefly.
They must have made some impression. Who are they? How many? What do they look like?
Well, there's your stepsister, Ursula. She introduced me to the others. Very pretty. Fair hair, blue eyes.
You've taken a shine to her.
A shine?
Isn't that the expression?
But I hardly met her.
What's that got to do with anything? Go on.
Well, I'd say Ursula is probably the most influential. Get on with her and you'll probably win round the rest.
The rest?
Brother Jim. Very like Ursula to look at, but... Well, if first impressions are anything to go by, too arrogant and contemptuous to win the popularity stakes.
I see.
For the others, various aunts, uncles, retainers, I really wouldn't know where to begin.
It's all a bit of a muddle, isn't it? You're probably wondering why I even bothered to come. Strange? Foolish? Probably both. The fact is... Ever since my father first told me about it, I've always had this feeling part of me belonged here. Now I have the right to belong. And whether the others like it or not, I intend to claim that right. They shan't keep me out. If they try, it'll be they who'll go, not I.
Well, well, well. Only here 5 minutes and the new master is already laying down the law.
Who is this?
Hugo, let me introduce your half-brother, Jim Ulstone.
Mr. Ulstone?
If you'll excuse me.
With the greatest of pleasure. What the hell are you still hanging about for anyway? This house isn't a hotel, not even a youth hostel, so just pack your bags and bugger off.
I don't think you're in a position to decide that.
It's really all...
No. You're my guest here. If I invite you to stay, you stay. The house is mine. Do you understand that, Jim? I am the one who decides who stays and who goes. And you'd better get used to the idea.
Hugo, darling, here at last. And how perfectly dreadful. None of us on hand to greet you. Anyway, I'm Ursula.
Ursula. Kind of you to be so welcoming. I mean, under the circumstances, it could have been different.
Nothing of the kind.
Anyway, let me assure you, my being here won't alter anything. You're perfectly free to carry on just as before, even if your brother seems to infer differently. I only hope you'll eventually be able to persuade him otherwise.
Dear Hugo, please excuse Jim. It's just that, well, when we heard you were coming, we didn't know if we'd be welcoming you as a guest or...
Something a bloody sight more permanent.
Jim!
I honestly don't know. Too early to say. The situation is as new to me as it is to you. But as head of the house, my father's command on me, I don't want you to feel unsettled or threatened in any way. Come, go, stay, just as before. The only proviso I make is that as my father's eldest son, I am the master here. I want nothing else. I demand neither your affection or friendship, but you will respect my wishes. I think I'm entitled to peace of mind. If I find certain disturbing elements too troublesome, I shall have to make other arrangements.
Then why the devil don't you make them now?
Please, Jim.
Oh, to hell with it.
I apologize for Jim, Hugo. Not altogether his fault. I think our father was to blame, not telling us about each other earlier. As far as Jim is concerned, well, it came as a big shock. Always having assumed you were son and heir, only to find...
I understand. I really do.
Thank you. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'll just check and see if your room's ready.
I like her. You think I was too dogmatic, too unreasonable?
No. I think you're perfectly entitled to say what you did say.
But?
I'm just worried about the danger in it.
Danger? For whom? From whom?
Oh, well, you can be as entitled or reasonable as you like. But the mere fact of your being here, Hugo, you're like a charge of electricity. Take up arms against these people and they'll either give up or fight back.
How can they fight back? And if they did, who do you think would come off worse? Me or them?
I don't know. I honestly don't know.
Well, if you ask me, this latest one's another damned imposter too. Could be anybody. And if he is who he claims to be, dear Papa must have been right out of his tiny mind.
Oh, wouldn't surprise me. Always a daffy old cove, even as a boy.
Oh, quiet, Biddulph. He was my brother.
So he was.
As for another damned imposter, if it's me you are referring to, when did I claim to be anyone other than I am? I simply turned up here hoping for directions and perhaps the use of your telephone. Is it my fault you took me for Hugo and jumped to all the wrong conclusions?
Of course it wasn't, Jake, dear. Jim, apologize.
That'll be the day.
In any event, my car should be ready tomorrow morning, latest. I won't infringe on your hospitality a minute longer than I have to.
Rubbish! You're Hugo's guest and you can stay as long as you want to. Now, let's all be friends. Why don't we have a teeny-weeny top-up? Evening, dear.
At this rate, we'll all be tipsy by the time his lordship puts in an appearance.
I want to be tipsy. Absolutely tipsy.
There, Aunt Susan.
Evelyn, let me give you a hand.
Don't. It's all right. Really, I can manage.
I want to. At least let me seem to be earning my keep.
Poor brother. If he hadn't been so terribly ill those last 12 months, I'm sure none of this would have happened. Why would he even consider making a new will and putting us all through this torture? Well, for my part, well, he told me all along what he intended leaving me. Oh, little enough considering the bond between us. But I'm sure he'd have never given me his word under false pretenses.
Exactly. If the old fool had been in his right mind, things would have remained just as he'd always intended.
In his right mind, but Sir Frederick assures us he was. If you're thinking of challenging the will on those grounds, well, I simply don't think you have a leg to stand on.
Sir Frederick thinks. Well, who the hell gives a damn what that old charlatan thinks? No, there's only one thing to be done. We'll show this Hugo fellow the door and argue the toss afterwards.
Don't be absurd, Jim. Hiller is right. How can we claim he was out of his mind if a leading brain surgeon tells us differently?
Yes. Well, we'll see about that.
No, if Hugo does intend to stay on, well, we must just all come to some kind of understanding, some kind of compromise. It shouldn't be difficult. As a matter of fact, I found him very personable.
Do you have to take a shine to every new face that comes through the front door?
I like Hugo. I wasn't expecting to, but I do.
We might do worse than give the fellow a chance.
Exactly, Uncle Biddulph. Jim, you paid stupidly this afternoon. We must be friendly to try and make him feel at home.
Until he takes the roof from over our heads.
I'm sure he'll fit in perfectly. After all, he is family. Why? Eventually, we might do something about getting him a wife.
Oh, God, Ursula, you are the giddy limit. She's only got him married off already. And who would you suggest? Always providing he doesn't already have one. Who'd have him? Can't think of anyone round here that would oblige you.
Don't see why not. He's young, wealthy, attractive. It's certainly worth thinking about. If he just packs his bags and heads back to Paris, well, there's no saying what'll happen to the estate.
got a point there.
This proposed wife, then, somebody in mind?
Oh, not particularly. Might be anyone. How about quiet as a mouse, Evelyn here?
Me?
Don't worry, but why not? It's not as though you're immediate family, not as involved as the rest of us. It would be a good catch. Just go through the formalities. You needn't go all the way.
Ursula, you're the bloody end.
Oh, am I, Jim? Are we to take it then? The lady's already spoken for.
You can take it any damned way you like.
Good evening.
Hugo, darling.
Sorry if I'm late. I took a nap.
Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. Come in. Come in. I'm sure you'd like a little drink. Evelyn?
No, thank you.
Well, now, all your new family are simply dying to meet you. Now, where to begin? Jim and Jake you've already met.
Oh, yes.
Well, this is Aunt Susan, our father's sister.
Aunt Susan?
Uncle Biddulph, her husband.
Uncle Biddulph.
Quite.
This is Dr. Parmore, Hugo.
Pleased to meet you.
Hilary. Not a relative, just a very, very dear friend. He looked after our father until he passed away.
Did he indeed? Then we must have a long talk, Doctor. I'm deeply concerned about anything that involved my father.
I'm sure you must be.
Well, that seems to be everyone.
Aren't you forgetting this young lady?
Oh, how silly. This is Evelyn, Evelyn Ross.
Good evening.
Evelyn? And how might we be related?
Oh, but you're not.
Not really. I'm a cousin to Ursula and Jim, but not strictly related to you.
It still gives me very great pleasure to see you here.
Thank you.
Evelyn, get your coat. We'll take a stroll before dinner.
Oh, not tonight. I really don't feel like it.
Are you coming or not? Well, suit your damn self, then.
Our Jim. Is he always stalking off like that?
Whenever he can't get his own way.
I'm sorry you don't feel like it, though. I was half hoping you'd give me a guided tour of the grounds.
I'll just get my coat. Wait for me in the hall.
But...
In the hall.
Please excuse us.
Well, did you ever?
Why so put out, Ursula? Your plan for Hugo's future seems to be succeeding faster than you expected.
But to simply go off like that, with Evelyn, of all people. That little mouse. I only paired her off with him as a joke. Anyway, she's far too involved with Jim for things to get serious between them.
Is she?
Of course she is. Isn't she, Hilary?
She's always given that impression.
Ah. You've only been here 5 minutes. You don't really know us, Jake.
You're quite right. I don't mean to pry, but Evelyn, does she live here?
Oh, yes.
Though I think it's high time she moved on. Trouble is, she's nowhere really to go.
She's your cousin, on your mother's side.
Not even that. Adopted. By mother's sister. When she died, Evelyn found herself homeless, penniless. Anyway, my father had already been taken ill, so we thought we'd be doing her a good turn if we asked her to come and look after him. She was well up to it. She'd nursed my aunt through her long last illness.
Poor Evelyn.
Anyway, at first it seemed to work out really well. Didn't it, Hilary?
It seemed to. Your father relied on her. But then, the sort of girl you would rely on if you needed companionship and sympathy.
You men!
Sorry?
Why are you always falling for these modest little violets? All sweetness and light, pleasant voices and shy smiles. He grew to rely on her far too much. She wound him round her little finger. If she'd had her way, he'd probably have ended up marrying her. Oh, yes. It might well have come to that. If I hadn't introduced Jim into the equation.
You mean you used your brother to get her away from your father?
What?
I'm sorry. Used might be too strong a word, but...
Dear boy, where have you lived? I certainly wasn't prepared just to accept the girl as my stepmother. I simply acted for the best. In everyone's interest.
Including Jim's?
Jim is quite capable of making up his own mind about things.
And how did your father react?
Oh, it was absolute hell. Wasn't it, Hilary?
Oh, yes.
Storms of weeping. Terrible rages. And as for Jim and me, a positive phobia. Though I didn't suspect the ultimate revenge he had in store for us. But then I wasn't even aware of Hugo's existence, was I? Oh, dear. Life's far too comic, isn't it? Still, not all doom and gloom. The one thing that's really kept me going is that as soon as he's free, Hilary and I are going to be married. Oh, fair enough.
Really, Ursula, you can be a bit over-frank at times. In any event, I'm sure Jake has no interest in our future plans. No, not true. I wish you both every happiness.
Thank you, Jake. Of course, that was another thing that made Father furious, even though he could only have suspected what was going on between us.
You and Hilary? Why should that upset him?
Hilary was his doctor. He demanded all his attention. Nothing, no one must come between him and his illness. So I was obviously out of favour. As for Jim, well, Jim had never really been in it. Hated him, hated his friends. All things considered, I suppose it was finally inevitable Hugo should come into his own. Our bad luck. Or perhaps you don't think so. Just desserts.
I don't feel qualified to judge.
Always the diplomat.
Ursula, supposing something were to develop between Hugo and Evelyn.
It mustn't. I shouldn't allow it. It would be doomed from the start. In retrospect, I don't think Hugo should marry at all. If the occasion arises, Jake, you'd be doing him a favour by pointing it out to him.
Me? Me point it out to him? But Ursula, for heaven's sake, until this morning I'd never even seen him. 24 hours ago, I'd never set eyes on any of you. You can't really expect me to go sticking my fingers into the fire.
No, well, I shall just have to have a quiet word with him myself. And I must see how dinner's coming on.
Ruthless. His own sister.
Oh, shut up, Susan. Oh. Dear.
Excuse me.
Are you all right?
Hmm? Oh, yes. Just Auntie being maudlin.
You don't think Ursula will really have a quiet word with Hugo, do you?
Very probably. So quietly, you won't even know it's happened. Ursula intrigues for the sake of intriguing. I don't think she always quite knows the point of her different moves. She ought to be a ruler of one of those Balkan states. Oh, her objective is clear enough. She wants what we all want. To keep the good things we've got and get as many more as we can. I wonder if you'd do me a very great favour, Jake.
If I can.
This marriage business Ursula was talking about. Forget it. I'm married already. Oh. My wife's a Catholic. She certainly wouldn't divorce me. And will probably outlive me anyway.
Then why does Ursula assume...
An emotional bolt hole. She quite often needs one. I seem to fit the bill. Did I hear you say you were in your second year at Barts?
Two down, three to go.
What then? Will you specialise?
Oh, God forbid. Neither the ambition nor the brains. I'll settle for being just a good, old-fashioned GP. Probably go in with my father. He has a practice just outside Bath.
I see.
And what about you?
What about me?
None of my business, but... Well, obviously too young to have retired.
There are many kinds of retirement, believe me. From choice, from necessity. In my case, I don't know. Just out of general apathy, I suppose. One night I woke up with that damn telephone ringing and I just didn't give a damn what... urgent case was on the other end of it anymore. I simply turned over and went back to sleep. There's still the practice in Chode. My partner runs it now. I think my name's still on the brass plate. But it's been months since I've even been near the damn place.
But if you really wanted to, you could surely start again. Take up where you left off.
The optimism of youth.
Not that I'm that ancient, but... all frittered away now. Knowledge, skill, above all, willpower. I might still have my health. Just. But for how long? I get noises in my ears. Sometimes I think my head is bursting. But I don't do anything about it. I don't diet, don't take exercise. I most certainly don't stop drinking. I just sit here, talk, play cards, and rot a bit more every day. Pathetic, isn't it? The only doctor who hasn't got the guts to take his own blood pressure.
I could, if you'd let me.
No, thanks. I'd probably shoot myself. Just as well we don't know what unpleasant surprises our physical mechanism has in store for us.
Hillary.
I urgently need another drink. Why don't you join me?
You know, Evelyn, I do seem to be the tiddly old girl.
Hugo, you wake the whole house.
So, until tomorrow then,
bright and early. Thank you for a lovely evening.
It was, wasn't it?
Hugo. Good night, Hugo.
Evelyn?
No, only me, Jake.
Oh. Well, you'd better come in.
So, you're back then?
As you see.
We were worried.
Worried?
When you didn't turn up for dinner.
Evelyn and I walked as far as the village. We decided to dine at the inn instead. Not exactly the Ritz, but the company more than made up for the cordon bleu.
I'm sure. But you must have known it would put the girl in Ursula's bad books.
Must I?
Jim was furious. He even threatened to go looking.
Did he indeed? And what the hell has it got to do with Jim?
Oh, come off it, Hugo. As far as Evelyn is concerned, well, let's just say he has a prior interest.
Correction. He likes to think he has. As for his threats, they're as empty as the stupid oaf's head. And now, if you'll excuse me, it's very late, and Evelyn and I have a date to go riding. First thing.
Very well.
Jake.
Mm-hmm.
You're not fooling anyone, you know.
What?
All this anxious concern on my behalf. It wouldn't be to disguise a certain self-interest of your own.
I don't know what you're talking about.
As far as Evelyn is concerned, you wouldn't be thinking of entering the joust yourself, would you?
Are you mad? I barely know the girl.
At the risk of repeating myself, what's that got to do with anything? Good night. Sleep well.
I didn't. Not a wink. I kept trying to rationalize the fact that I barely knew the girl with what I'd been feeling about her from the very moment she'd walked through that library door. Ursula's account of her background, her obviously inferior status in the household, only added my sympathy and concern to the equation. Entering the joust, as Hugo put it, suddenly seemed apt, if faintly ridiculous. As though I'd cast myself as some kind of knight in shining armor, hell-bent on rescuing the fair maiden in distress. Juvenile? Pathetic? More importantly, no future in it. God knows, I could barely keep myself, without embarking on some kind of relationship with an eye to making it long-term. Impossible. Out of the question. I kept telling myself that. But it didn't alter the fact.
Evelyn?
Oh, sorry, miles away.
You looked as though you were plotting some deep-laid scheme.
Did I?
Do you mind if I sit with you?
No.
I wonder what time Sir Frederick will arrive. Did Ursula tell you?
At breakfast. I'm glad.
Glad?
I don't know why.
He just gives one a certain confidence.
He does, doesn't he? What's the matter, Evelyn?
Matter? Why on earth should you think there's anything the matter?
Oh, come on. Tell me, it's none of my damn business, but it's pretty obvious there's something bothering you. Something on your mind. Look, I'm a stranger just passing through, here today, gone tomorrow. For what it's worth, I'd be happy for you to tell me about it. Evelyn?
There's nothing to be done about it.
Is it because you think there might be trouble brewing between Hugo and Jim?
And everybody thinks it's my fault that I'm deliberately playing one off against the other. But I'm not. It's not my fault. I don't do anything. I don't do anything. Things just seem to happen to me. It's always the same. One minute I'm floating smoothly with the current, and the next, caught up in the whirlpool again. You're right. I do need to talk to someone. It should be Ursula. But Ursula hates me. Whatever I do, she misunderstands. I simply don't know how much longer I can go on living in this atmosphere of misunderstanding. I don't know.
You could always leave.
Oh, how simple you make it sound. I'm beholden here. It was Ursula who brought me to nurse her father.
She told me that.
Did she also tell you it was because she wasn't prepared to put up with his impossible caprices and demands? I did. I did exactly as they asked. When he'd grown to depend on me, they decided that that would never do either. There I was in the whirlpool again, the father beseeching me to marry him, and Jim and Ursula working away at their own little plot.
You poor girl.
James Ulstone told me all his secrets. He laid bare his whole life. I knew about Hugo. I knew the danger Ursula and Jim were running, treating their father as they did. I tried to warn them. All I got was their suspicion. They accused me of trying to influence their father against them. If only they knew. Things really came to a head when he saw Jim was beginning to take notice of me. He was furious. It was then that he decided to disinherit. When I pleaded with him not to, he accused me of being part of the plot too. He thought I cared about the legacy because I wanted to marry Jim.
And didn't you?
I've never wanted to. But I couldn't prevent Jim falling in love with me.
Oh, it's not your fault. How can you feel guilty about that?
What I feel no longer counts. When Jim wants a thing, he thinks he's entitled to have it. He thinks he has a claim on me. He says that if I desert him, he doesn't care what happens to him. But it's not his threats against himself that worry me now. It's his threats against other people.
Hugo.
Jim was waiting for me when I got back from dinner last night. He swears that if Hugo isn't out of the house within the next few days, he'll... I don't know what. I'm afraid, Jake.
Well, take a seat, dear boy, take a seat.
Thank you. We're all a little surprised to see you back so soon, Sir Frederick.
No, not planned. Certainly not convenient. The fact is, there's been a development. Yes, you might certainly call it that. A certain unexpected and very surprising development.
Oh?
When I asked you to welcome Hugo on my behalf, it seemed a pretty straightforward and simple request. But now, well, let's just say that the situation has become more complex than I could ever have imagined. Some information has come my way. But first I must have your solemn word that you won't reveal it to a living soul until I tell you you may.
You have my word. What is it, sir?
A dossier. It was waiting for me when I got back to town. No, not now. You can study it at your leisure. But the upshot is, the young man who arrived here yesterday and introduced himself as Hugo Ulstone is no more Hugo than you are.
But how on earth did you find out?
When I made my promise to poor Ulstone, I thought it prudent to make a few private inquiries as to what the promise involved. Some friends in Paris were only too happy to oblige, and they did a very thorough job. That dossier was the result. I know about his flat, his clothes, his car, his hobbies, you name it. More importantly, it contains photographs of the real Hugo and his friends. Among them, one Marcel de Souvigny. It was Marcel who introduced himself to me just now.
But why on earth? What can they gain by switching identities?
Who knows? A simple practical joke, a chance for Marcel to spy out the land on Hugo's behalf. Or something altogether more sinister, we don't know. Till we do, I can see no reason for making things any more unpleasant than we have to.
Hmm. The big question remains, where's the real Hugo?
London, might be anywhere. My friends lost sight of him when he stepped onto the Channel boat. Wherever he is, he'll probably keep low until Marcel has a chance to make his report and decides where to go from there. To stay on here and claim his inheritance, or return to France and resume his life as he knows it.
Meanwhile, where does that leave us?
In the dark. We keep our eyes and ears open, say nothing.
Like the three wise monkeys?
Like one of them. The other two were deaf and blind.
I sat next to Marcel, alias Hugo, at dinner, and scarcely took my eyes off him as we relaxed in the lounge afterwards. The fact that I still thought of him as Hugo and not Marcel says it all. It was a masterly performance. But to what purpose? One thing for sure, as the evening progressed, his interest in Evelyn became obvious for all to see. They sat apart from the rest of us, their conversation out of hearing, their laughter conspiratorial. When they danced, it was only with each other. In spite of myself, I never took my eyes off them. But whatever pangs of jealousy I was suffering were as nothing compared with what Jim was going through. A suppressed rage that threatened to reach out and engulf them there and then. A coiled spring. A loaded revolver. I couldn't sleep. Every time I closed my eyes, I saw only Evelyn and Marcel. Laughing, dancing, their obvious intimacy. The room stifled me. I dressed quickly and let myself out of the sleeping house. The moon was high as I took the gravel path that led past the shrubbery. It was the shoe that first caught my attention. A highly polished man's shoe, lying at the edge of the path and pointing towards the undergrowth. A pointer it would have been impossible to ignore.
Sir Frederick! Are you awake? It's Jake Seaborn, sir. I must speak to you urgently. It's imperative. Sir Frederick!
What the devil do you want, boy? It's the middle of the night.
I'm sorry, but you must come. At once.
Don't disturb the ground too much. Step where I step. Hold the torch closer. Yes. Shot in the back. Not at very close quarters, but that'll be for the police to decide. Right, I'm going to turn him over so that we can get a good look at his face.
Should we?
Well, the rigor set in so we can replace him in the same position exactly. Still, if anybody asks, you never saw me doing this, right? Yes. No doubt about it, is there?
The real Hugo Ulston. I recognize him from his photo in the dossier.
Poor young fellow. His father was quite right to be worried for him. Looks even younger than his age. Tragic. Though I dare say there'll be quite a few up at the house who'll be glad to hear the back of him.
The inheritance?
Yes, and everything to be gained by his removal. Anyway, that's for the police to sort out. Right, poor chap. Over we go, then.
Oh. What do we tell the others?
No choice. They'll have to know about the real Hugo, won't they?
What the hell do you mean by waking me so early? What the devil do you want?
Listen. Listen very carefully. I want you to tell me about Hugo. When did you see him last?
What?
The real Hugo, Marcel. I know you're not he.
I see. All right, so what? I'd have got round to telling you myself eventually. So who did? Evelyn? Never trust a woman to keep a secret.
Hugo, when did you see him last?
He was supposed to meet me last night. He didn't turn up. I'll take the car and go looking later.
Where will you go looking?
In the village. He's staying at the hotel. What's the matter? Why are you looking at me like that? Well, you don't suppose I intended staying here, impersonating him for the rest of my life, do you?
Didn't you?
Of course not. I simply came to break the ice for him, give him the chance of knowing whether he wanted to get acquainted with his dear relatives or not. I began with the girls. He got the chance to meet Evelyn when we dined in the village the other night.
Evelyn met him?
Yes.
And Ursula?
It was arranged to meet her last night. Well, not exactly meet her. I was to take her for a walk in the grounds while he watched from the shrubbery.
And?
Oh, damn it, I've already told you, he never came. I did as he asked, but he never turned up.
But he did, Marcel. Hugo was in the shrubbery last night.
What are you telling me?
Hugo was murdered. I found the body.
My God. Oh, my God.
Darling Marcel, of course the inspector doesn't suspect you. He's questioning us all in turn. It's a formality. It doesn't mean anything more, well, sinister.
I just hope you're right.
I mean you, darling, of all people. What do you stand to gain by poor Hugo's death? Why, practically all of us stand to gain more than you.
And how the hell can you be sure of that? For all we know, Hugo's left him something in his will.
I doubt Hugo had time to make one. He certainly hadn't when I left him last.
Oh, yes? And how on earth do you know that?
Yes! How on earth does he know that?
Because he was asking me how to set about it.
Oh.
Hugo was always obsessed with the thought of death. Until his father died, he had no property of his own. The question of a will simply didn't arise. But when he suddenly found it come into a fortune, he obviously thought it was time to do something about it.
If he had made a will, have you any idea what depositions he'd have made?
No. Only that he'd have done the right thing. He certainly wouldn't have left anything to me. In the first place, I don't need it. If it even suggested it, I'd have done everything in my power to dissuade him.
Oh, I'm sure you would.
Was that so impossible to believe?
Of course we believe you, darling. Every word you say, don't we? All right. If you must know, Marcel admitted to me last night that he wasn't the real Hugo. Would he do that if he had something to hide?
He admitted to you?
I've just said so, haven't I?
But why you?
Exactly. If it was all just some kind of hoax that misfired, why didn't he make a clean breast of it to the rest of us?
Because he probably realized you'd react just the way you are now, bigoted and judgmental.
Not without bloody cause.
You're quite right. Not without cause. I suppose I confided in Ursula first because, well, I could see that what had started out as a rather childish prank was turning into something altogether more complicated. I needed someone sympathetic to confide in. It was as simple as that. I just hope you'll believe me.
Whether we believe you or not is hardly to the point. The trouble is, you left it for the police to find out the deception for themselves. It could turn nasty.
Could it indeed? And what makes you so sure you won't have a bit of explaining to do yourself? It was you who just happened to stumble across the body.
Sir Frederick will vouch for me.
And who's going to vouch for him? He's killed Hugo's father and got well paid for it. Who's to say he has nothing to gain by knocking off the son as well?
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
My name in vain, Marcel. Anyway, cheer up, my friend. The police are well satisfied with your account so far.
Out of curiosity, sir, what would the legal position be if Hugo has died intestate?
Then obviously his property would go to his next of kin.
Meaning us? Well, we are, aren't we?
It would seem so. He never married. No blood relatives in France or India.
Settled, then.
Except, I don't know if I should really be telling you this. Oh, well, the police are bound to get round to it sooner or later.
Tell us what?
Hugo didn't die intestate. He left a will. Rough and ready, but quite valid.
I don't believe it.
Where did they find it?
On his body, written on a sheet of hotel notepaper, witnessed by the manager and his wife. It's all perfectly in order.
Well? For God's sake, man, you obviously know what's in it.
Oh, yes, but you're not going to like it, I'm afraid.
He left his entire estate to his long-time friend, Marcel de Souvigny.
No. No. It's a trap.
Evelyn. Needed a breath of fresh air.
How was your interview with the inspector?
Pretty straightforward. I found the body, so I have to stay until after the inquest. It's Jim's turn now.
Jake, I'm so frightened. But it can't have been Jim, can it? It can't have been.
What makes you think it might?
I don't. But then we all know how violent he can be. He did threaten Marcel. And now he's with the police, he'll bluster and refuse to answer their questions. They're bound to think he's guilty. I know they will.
It couldn't have been Jim. He didn't even know the real Hugo. He thought Marcel was Hugo, as we all did.
Oh, but he did, Jake. He knew Marcel was only playing the part.
What?
I told him.
Oh, for heaven's sake, was everyone in on the secret except me?
If only Marcel had kept it to himself. He told Ursula last night and me the night before. He thought it all a great lark. And then he said, I'm meeting the real Hugo at the hotel in the village. Why don't you come along and meet him too? So I did.
And?
Hugo was angry with Marcel at first, but during dinner he was charming. Just very, very shy. Eventually, Marcel suggested he came back with us to the house and meet the rest of the family. That's when he panicked. So Marcel suggested a compromise, a brilliant idea, he called it. The following evening, Hugo was to hide in the shrubbery. At a fixed time, he'd just casually take Ursula out for a stroll. That way, Hugo could see her without being seen himself. Hugo was persuaded to agree.
I see.
Oh, my God, I wish he hadn't. Most of all, I wish I hadn't confided in Jim.
Shh. This is important, Evelyn. When you confided to Jim, did you also let on that Hugo, the real Hugo, would be out there in the shrubbery that night? Did you tell him that?
No, I swear it. I don't know how he could possibly have got to know. But what if somehow he did? What if he flew into one of his terrible rages? He might have killed him without even realizing what he was doing.
Oh, I doubt it. Whoever killed Hugo did it in cold blood, deliberately. Is that like Jim?
I suppose not. Anyway, what would he have had to gain? How could he be sure that with Hugo dead, the estate would automatically come to him and Ursula? He had no way of knowing whether Hugo had made a will or not.
No. I think the inspector will be much more interested in Marcel's account of things than Jim's. Marcel arranged the meeting. The will gives him the lot. It's Marcel who'll have to do the explaining. You mark my words.
You really think so?
I do. Now, come on. We'd best be getting back. Hiding away?
All that backbiting and speculation was getting me down. You're angry with me, aren't you?
Why?
Because I confided to the women about myself before I told you.
You shouldn't have. They obviously let on to somebody else, and he must have...
For God's sake! Don't! You think I haven't thought the same thing? Hugo was my best friend. How could I possibly have guessed that someone planned to kill him? At least I have a cast-iron alibi.
Have you indeed?
Yes. Ursula can vouch for the fact that I spent most of the night talking to her in the drawing room. We didn't part until almost 3. If Hugo was shot about midnight, there's no possible way I could have been involved.
You call that cast iron? Ursula might just be trying to protect you. At the very least, you'd need a third-party witness.
Dr. Parmore. He was there when Ursula and I got back from our stroll. We all had a drink, and then I nipped back out to the shrubbery to see if Hugo had turned up. I hoped I could persuade him to join us.
Bang goes your alibi.
What?
Well, the police might think you killed Hugo then.
Well, how could I have? Where did I get the gun from?
Why hadn't Ursula and the doctor heard the shot?
Let's give you the benefit of the doubt. When you rejoined them, what happened then?
Happened? Nothing out of the ordinary. The doctor wished us good night. Ursula and I sat talking. And I don't intend telling you what about.
What makes you think I'd want to hear it? You're very fond of Ursula, aren't you, Marcel?
I like her well enough.
No more.
Well enough.
It's just a thought, but... Well, supposing, just supposing, mind, you were to marry her. It wouldn't really matter that Hugo left all his property to you, would it now?
Marry her? Are you quite mad? What a quaint fellow you are. Anyway, as far as the will is concerned, I've already decided what I'm going to do. I intend making a deed of gift.
Well, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm not really up on these things. It would certainly give the lie to you having anything to do with Hugo's death. Why would you kill him for his money and then give it all away? So, who's on the receiving end? Ursula and Jim, equal shares?
No, they get nothing. You see, Jake, dear fellow, I'm leaving it all to you.
I couldn't sleep. A full moon. Beyond my bedroom windows, the park looked incredibly lovely. And then I thought of Hugo and shuddered. This time last night, a young man, rich, able to enjoy all the good things in life. And then, in another minute, a shot had rung out, and he was lying face downward on the damp earth, grasping the dead leaves in his own death agony. A shot had rung out, of course. And last night was just another night like this. If anyone were to fire a revolver now, I'd be bound to hear it. Then why hadn't anyone in the drawing room heard it? Of course, because there'd been noise. There'd been piano playing and then the gramophone. So that when Marcel went out with Ursula, Hugo was already dead. And Marcel had spoken the truth when he said he couldn't have shot Hugo in the 10 minutes when he went out again to the rendezvous, because someone, Ursula and Palmore, if nobody else, must surely have heard the shot. I went back to my bed, but sleep refused to come. What was this mad scheme of Marcel's? Did he really mean it? Was it possible that I, Jake Seaborn, medical student, would soon be the potential owner of this great house, this splendid park, and heaven knows how much accumulated wealth to rule over them? Was it really possible?
Morning, Jake. We missed you at breakfast.
Couldn't face it. I haven't slept a wink all night.
Are you all right?
Evelyn, I must talk to you.
What about?
No, not here. I've got the car back. I thought we might go for a spin. Anywhere away from this damned house.
Oh, but I...
We can leave a note saying we'll be back for dinner. Oh, please, Evelyn.
All right. I'll meet you in the courtyard. Oh, so peaceful. I could stay forever. Jake?
Damn Marcel. Damn him.
Oh, but perhaps nothing will come of it. You know what Marcel's like.
But if it does go through, what the hell am I supposed to do? What would be my position? Wouldn't I be morally bound to hand the whole thing back to Jim and Ursula?
Would you?
They are the rightful heirs.
Rightful? Doesn't deserving... being worthy coming to the equation? Even their own father had his doubts and finally decided against it. And is it any wonder? Jim would have squandered the lot, and Ursula would have spent it on Dr. Palmore. James Alston hated the doctor. He called him a waster.
What I don't understand is why he never left you anything. After all you did for him, God knows you earned it.
Oh, it never felt like earning. Anyway,
What?
He'd convinced himself I'd be marrying Jim. That way Jim would have got my share after all. That's the last thing he wanted. I don't blame him. I know how he felt. Besides, well, let's just say he wasn't himself towards the end.
Evelyn, I don't know how to say this, but if Marcel is serious, if anything does come of it, do you think you could bring yourself to share it with me? If you think I must take on the responsibility, the least you can do is help me.
No, Jake, dear.
But why not? I like you. We're friends. Close.
Not now. It's simply not the time to talk about things like that.
Not absolutely out of the question.
Would I be with you now, if it were?
I love you, Evelyn.
I know that.
Then why can't we settle it just between us? Not let anyone else know.
Because they would know. However much of a secret we tried to make out of it, they'd know.
So what?
Oh, and the moment they knew, they'd work to destroy us. There's Jim. You know how violent he can be. He's sworn no one else shall have me. Can you imagine what would happen if he knew you were not only to get the property, but me as well? And Ursula. Ursula would go about it much more subtly. She'd fill your mind with poisonous stories about me.
I'd never believe them.
If she repeated them often enough, you might. You'd suddenly find yourself watching me, trying to trap me. You'd twist everything I said and did with what you'd been told. And in the end, you'd succeed. That's the sad part of it. One always does. Best wait, Jake. Oh. 6 months from now...
6 months?
You'll feel the same way about me.
I will. I always will.
Well, Seaborn, we have been a busy fellow, haven't we?
Sir Frederick?
When I asked you to act as my locum, I certainly didn't intend you to be installed as master of the house.
It's none of my doing. Is it my fault Hugo is killed? As for what happens to the estate, that's entirely Marcel's decision, not mine.
What you mean is, he can do what he pleases with it. But even if he does and leaves the lot to you, it still leaves you with your own course of action.
What would you suggest?
Oh, for heaven's sake, man, it's obvious. You must give it back to the people who live here, whose home it is, Jim and Ursula Ulstone.
Must I?
Whether you think they're worthy or not doesn't enter into it. If you accept it, it'll be sheer robbery, and all the false reasoning in the world won't alter the fact.
You've no right to say that. It's an insult, and I won't stand for it. I have the greatest respect for you, Sir Frederick, but it's my decision. Allow me to make it as I see fit.
Calm yourself, ma'am. I presume to interfere out of your own best interest. We don't know who killed Hugo. We do know what a disturbance he caused by coming here. It cost him his life. He was killed because he was about to come into possession. But at least he had the right. Do you propose to step into the same invidious position? Do you seriously realize what you'll be doing?
If you're trying to frighten
me... I am. And you have every reason to be. The inspector tells me Hugo was shot at the end of the shrubbery as he looked out. He was still alive when they dragged him to where we found him. They've also found the murder weapon, a Colt revolver. Jim recognized it. Belonged to his father and was normally kept in the gun room.
Did it turn up near the scene?
No, the lily pond.
What a queer place to put it.
Why?
A bit obvious.
Unless, of course, one wanted it to be found.
Wanted?
The owner of the revolver would obviously come to light. The intention was to incriminate him. As it originally belonged to Jim's father, the person who most immediately springs to mind would be...
Jim.
Funny how everything always seems to lead back to poor old Jim, isn't it?
He asks for it.
Which doesn't necessarily mean he deserves it.
Well, whoever dumped it there, it was a damn dangerous thing to do. Shooting a man in the shrubbery, then crossing an open lawn in bright moonlight. We know Marcel went that way, looking for Hugo. He could easily have spotted him. There's no way he could have missed.
Unless it was dropped there later, next day, for instance. As a matter of fact, I believe you spent some time down by the pond on the morning they found it.
Me? I was talking to Evelyn, Miss Ross, the whole time. Well, she'll vouch for that. There's no way I could have ditched any damn revolver.
Oh, I'm sure she will, but you see how easy it is to appear guilty. Drink your drink, then.
Ursula. I couldn't take it any longer.
What?
Aunt Susan is teaching Uncle Biddulph to tango, for God's sake. He's pushing 80 and she's teaching him to tango. If one false step, he'll end up in all the pleadings. Oh, you don't have a cigarette. Mm. Oh, if you're looking for Evelyn, Marcel's taken her for a stroll as far as the summer house.
Has she?
Poor old Jake. Another victim of the green goddess.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, it's all right. I sympathize. Been there. It's quite all right to do the dropping oneself, but quite another to be on the receiving end. One of the worst things I've ever experienced.
Or are experiencing. You're talking about you and Marcel, aren't you?
Is it that obvious?
Pretty obvious.
To poor Hillary, too, I'm afraid. What a muddle. Still, no point brooding. Why don't we walk down to the summer house as well?
Won't it look as though we're spying on them?
Oh, perish the thought. But I surely have the right to walk along my own lawn, at least it was mine until the other day, with my own guest. Oh, do come.
No, I'd really rather not. How about down to the lily pond instead? It'll look lovely by moonlight.
What an old-fashioned romantic you are. Sit down, then.
Oh, hello. Someone seems to have beaten us to it.
Well, who is it? Can you see?
Not sure. Could be Hillary.
Hillary, dear? Is that you? Hillary? Why didn't he answer? Well, the old fool's either asleep or drunk.
Hang on here. I'll go down and take a look. Hillary? Hillary, are you all right? Oh, my dear God.
Jake, what is it?
No, stay back.
What's happened?
Best you don't look. Hillary's shot himself.
But why the hell did he do it, sir? Unless... You don't think he killed Hugo, do you?
Well, he had no motive.
Oh, but he did. He loved Ursula.
Probably too much. Certainly more than she loved him. He as good as told me there was no future in it. But that wouldn't stop him doing anything to protect her inheritance. Poor old Hillary. He'd have been better off if he'd never set eyes on her.
The superintendent's gone, then?
Yes. Thought it best to leave his questioning until the morning.
That the ladies would have been up to it anyway.
Oh, God, what a business. He can't have been dead long when we spotted him. But you'd been in the garden some time. How come you didn't hear the shot?
Oh, but I did.
You did? Where were you?
Down by the summer house. Evelyn was anxious about it, but I told her it was probably just a poacher or a gamekeeper. Poor girl. I wonder what Palmore had been saying to her.
They'd been talking together?
Oh, yes, down by the pond. She was just leaving when I spotted her. She said she didn't want to go back indoors, so I suggested we take a stroll. Not long after, we heard the shot. I think she must have realized then what had happened. She must have been the last to see him alive. Poor girl.
Oh, stop calling her that! What the hell were you doing down there anyway?
My business.
Oh, so first you set your sights on Ursula, now it's Evelyn's turn, is it? Well, you must know how Ursula feels about you.
Oh, yes.
So, what would she think, you going off with Evelyn like that?
I don't give a damn.
Well, I do.
Patently obvious.
If you must know, Evelyn and I are as good as engaged.
Oh, my dear fellow, don't flatter yourself. Face the facts. Evelyn's not remotely interested. If she gives that impression, it's only because you keep pestering her. She'd leave with me tomorrow if I asked.
Oh, we'll see about that. And while we're at it, this business about the estate. Is the position the same as far as I'm concerned?
No. It was impetuous of me. I've decided to do nothing until I've had time to discuss it with my parents.
For God's sake, I was the first to give you that advice. You were the one that protested at it. Oh, Ursula was right. She said nothing would come of it.
Ursula again. Wherever she is, there's trouble.
You liked her well enough until now.
Before this tragedy.
It's
revolting that a woman could be so careless of the feelings of the man who loved her.
What makes you so sure she was responsible? If she did tip the poor fellow's mind towards suicide, you played your part in it too.
Me?
Yes. First awakening her interest in you, and then making it clear you had nothing to give in return. Marcel, you're a bloody sham.
If you insist.
And now it's Evelyn's turn, is it? You pretend she's all in all to you, and then when she's dropped me for you, turn round and tell her you're sorry, but you were never serious in the first place. I'm right, aren't I?
All right. I may as well tell you here and now. I intend removing Evelyn from this household. She deserves better, and I'm going to see she gets it.
What does that mean? That you're going to marry her?
My business. But I'm certainly taking her away. I'll put her under the protection of my own family. Away from here, where she can expect nothing but hostility and persecution.
And you seriously believe she'll settle for that? Be fool enough to entrust her future happiness to you?
She's already agreed to.
In that case...
What?
I give up!
You are Marcel Souvigny?
Marcel Dirk Souvigny.
Quite. What was your relationship with the deceased?
Hugo was a very close friend of mine.
As far as you know, was this his first visit to England?
It was.
What exactly was the purpose of his visit?
To see the property he'd inherited from his father, to make the acquaintance of his new relations. Well, that's to say, not to meet them directly, more to view them at a distance first.
With your cooperation?
Yes.
To which end, you not only preceded him to the hall, but took it upon yourself to impersonate him? Please answer.
He persuaded me to.
On the night of his death, it was arranged that the deceased should conceal himself in shrubbery near the house. Was that your suggestion or his?
Mine. But Hugo was happy to agree.
At what time would that have been?
Around 10:30. The moon was still bright then. I assumed he'd be there.
But you didn't actually see him?
No. But then he wasn't supposed to show himself. It was arranged that I'd take a stroll with Miss Ulster.
Quite. And now... I want you to think very carefully before you answer. Did you see Hugo Ulstone at any time that evening?
No. But when he didn't turn up, I went back to the spot for a few minutes. That would have been sometime between 11:30 and midnight.
And?
Still no sign of him. I simply assumed he'd got tired and gone off. I realize now he must have been dead. Oh.
When, Inspector?
I received Sir Frederick's call at 6:36 precisely. The body was in the place and position he described. Marks on the path and the shoes and clothing of the deceased showed the body had been dragged from the edge of the shrubbery to where it was subsequently found. We believe he was still alive at this time.
Continue.
And the bullet had passed through the body, making its exit at a point just below the sixth rib and embedding itself in a tree. Came from a Colt 38 revolver with a 1.5-inch cylinder. The weapon was subsequently found at the bottom of an ornamental pool in the grounds.
You are James Ulstone, half-brother to the deceased?
I am.
According to your statement to the police... At about 9:55 on the night in question, you heard a shot which seemed to come from the direction of the shrubbery. You looked out, but saw nothing.
I did. Where were you
at the time?
In the billiard room. It's at the front of the house, overlooking the garden.
Did you form any opinion as to the nature of the shot?
No.
You saw nothing? No one?
No. At least, not then. Later, I looked out and saw Hillary, Dr. Palmer.
Was he leaving the house or returning?
Well, both. At 9:45, I spotted him walking towards the shrubbery. At 9:15, he was coming back.
Was he alone?
Yes.
Both going and returning?
Yes. Well, yesterday evening, when I heard he'd shot himself, I knew he must have been the killer.
Silence!
Oh, it must have been him, damn it! It must have been!
Order! I will have order!
Oh, what the hell do you want? An explanation. I think at the very least I'm entitled to some kind of explanation.
Of what? What gives you the right to come bursting in here without warning, demanding explanations?
I'm not talking to you. I'm speaking to Evelyn. Evelyn? Is it true you're leaving here? Quite soon?
You don't have to explain yourself to him.
Evelyn? Please, Evelyn.
All right. If you must know, we'll be leaving together. First thing in the morning. If it helps to put your mind at rest, I've also asked her to marry me.
And you accepted?
Tell him.
I accepted.
I see. In that case, I can only wish you every happiness. Won't you say goodbye and wish me luck too?
Goodbye. Good luck.
Wonder where they are now.
London, probably. Evelyn will have to get a passport.
Of course.
You really must get her out of your mind, Jake. Forget her.
I must, mustn't I? I still don't understand why the police said they could leave.
Isn't it obvious? They've already decided they weren't involved. Hillary shot Hugo, then shot himself. Well, it suits them very well. What's the point of prosecuting a charge of murder against a dead man?
Ursula, tell me, do you think Hillary's reason for shooting himself was because, well, for what the police seem to think?
Because he was the one who shot Hugo. No, I don't. But I believe he wanted the police to think so.
To protect someone else? But why? Why should he want to draw on himself the charge of murder? And what about his family? Didn't he care about them?
It's only his wife. All she'd care about was the insurance money. Ironic, she'll never get it.
What about you, then?
Oh, yes. He'd know I'd care. That I'd always care. But what if he thought there might be something worse in store for me? If he didn't do as he did? What if he thought he knew who did kill Hugo? That it would shatter my life if I ever found out?
You think it might be Jim, don't you?
No. I don't. I mustn't. But I think Hillary convinced himself it was Jim. He killed himself to spare me.
Perhaps. But if it wasn't Hillary or Jim, and we exclude ourselves, who are we left with? Marcel? How would he know there's a revolver in the house? Sir Frederick, what possible motive? That only leaves...
It does, doesn't it?
Taxi.
My God, it's Marcel.
But where's Evelyn?
Well, are you all right?
Where's Evelyn?
Here, sit down.
Ursula? That you?
Only me.
Oh, they heard someone in here. Thought I'd better investigate. What are you looking for?
It's Marcel. He's still terribly upset. Can't sleep.
What's it all about? What happened between them?
Well, he still refuses to talk about it. Anyway, he obviously needs a sleeping draught. I thought there might be something in Hillary's cabinet that might do the trick. Oh, be it, darling. Jake, see if you can find something.
No. No. Oh, my God, he could have opened a chemist shop. Ah, this'll do the trick. Barbiturate. Knock him out and no after effects.
What's that?
Hmm?
It fell as you closed the cabinet door. Receipt for a registered postal package.
Oh, let me see. But it's addressed to me. At my home address.
How would Hillary know that?
I can't imagine. Except, yes, of course. I told him my father was still in practice. Obviously looked it up in the medical directory. Well, they can't have that many Seabourns listed. But what can it mean?
I don't know. But I think you ought to get hold of it at once. It could be important. Hilary must have had his reason for writing to you there, away from this house. Jake?
I can get there in 3 hours.
My dear Seabourn, I'm writing this from my home in Chode. You will wonder why I have chosen you, who 5 days ago were a complete stranger to me, as the recipient of this, my last letter. Perhaps it is because you were a comparative stranger, so better able to bear the burden of responsibility of what I'm about to impart. My own motives are purely selfish. I can suffer to leave the world easily, but not without leaving a record of the truth.
I have already confided to you how I first came into contact with the Allstones. How, as her father's condition worsened, I positively encouraged Ursula to introduce Evelyn to the scene. The old man was under her spell within a week. But then came the affair with his son, Jim. In a fury of destructiveness, he changed his will. After his death, things moved quickly. First you came on the scene, and then the amazing Marcel. So long as he posed as Hugo, the future heir, Evelyn was all infatuated attention. The minute she discovered he was only standing in for the real Hugo, she immediately lost all interest. No. Her best prospects now lay in Hugo dead, and the still besotted Jim coming into his inheritance.
She was there when Marcel made the arrangement with Hugo to parade Ursula before him the next evening. On that fatal night, I was in my room with the door ajar. I saw her come down the stairs opposite. Something about her, a certain stealth, made me suspicious. I followed her. She left the house by one of the back entrances. When she reached the beech tree behind which she took her stand, I spotted Hugo pacing up and down in the moonlight. I continued to watch, a spectator at a play. It came as a complete surprise when she took aim and fired. Mission accomplished, she returned to the house. Next day, I saw her drop the revolver in the lily pond. The police have been here, just gone. They left me in no doubt that they are convinced I am the murderer. It's obviously only a matter of time before they return. I have quite simply, dear boy, decided to end it. My death can affect no one. My wife will be glad. And Ursula. Ursula will soon forget and be happier without me. I'm now going to seal this and take it to the post. After dark, it's back to the hall and the lily pond. I shall try not to make too much of a mess of it. Give my love to Ursula. She is more to me than ever now. Hilary.
Jake.
Yes?
Ursula. It was important, wasn't it?
Very. You can read it when I get back. Any news of Evelyn? Go on.
The police came round just after you left. Evelyn has been found dead in the hotel where Marcel left her. I'm so sorry, Jake. Jake, are you still there?
Still here.
It was good of you to see me off.
No trouble.
After everything that passed between us...
The past, Marcel.
You have the right to know. That night, just before I left Evelyn at the hotel. I told her I've decided I could never marry her. I'd do all I could to protect her, but marriage was out of the question. She became hysterical. She told me how she'd planned it, counted on it, and then the crimes she'd committed to achieve it.
I see.
I think she would have taken her own life in any case. I just guided her hand. She killed my friend. If you're ever in Paris, you will look me up.
Promise.
By the way, did you know Ursula is to marry Sir Frederick? She told me this morning.
Hugo's will, leaving his estate to Marcel, proved invalid. He'd already signed it before asking the hotel manager and his wife to witness the act. As a result, it all went to Jim and Ursula after all. They went their separate ways soon after. Ursula did marry Sir Frederick, and is now the doyenne of London society. The hall has fallen into disrepair. Talk in the village is that they'll soon be pulling it down. Some time back, I was in the neighborhood and couldn't resist making a detour down that lane I first took in a thunderstorm. The two groups of monkeys were still there, staring down at me from the gateposts. The one, with his hands over his eyes, seemed to be peeping at me. The one with his hands over his mouth seemed to be guffawing. And the one with his hands over his ears, he seemed to be stopping them against anything I might say. I had nothing to say. It was all just the past to me. A murmur of pleasant voices.
Pleasant Voices. Jake was played by Matthew Morgan and Marcel by Andrew Wincott. Evelyn was Julie Higginson. Sir Frederick was Dilwyn Owen. Ursula was Leslie Rooney. And Jim was Rob Lane. Hillary was Andrew Hilton. Uncle Biddulph was Alan Towner. And Aunt Susan was Beryl Hearn. Death and the Pleasant Voices was by William Ingram, freely adapted from the novel by Mary Fitt, and was directed in Wales by Alison Hindle.